This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Hi. So wherever and whenever you're listening to this podcast episode, I just want to say I hope you're having an amazing day. Today, we're going to talk about how to write a product specification for a physical product. But what I want to start talking about is by explaining what a product specification actually is and why you need one. So a product specification is a full description of your product. So it's a really detailed description of what your product is, what it does, what it's composed of, you know, so how it's made. And a bit later on in the episode, I'll talk a bit more about kind of things that might be included in that. But in short, it's a really detailed description of your product. Now, in terms of why you need a product specification, there are actually two reasons. So first reason is, I'm assuming that when you came up with the idea for your product, you definitely had some kind of ideas, whether you had just a vague idea of this is the kind of product I want, or maybe you had like a much bigger idea, you know, lots more ideas, lots more detail. You started somewhere, and then hopefully you got some input from your ideal customers and you did a bit of research, and that kind of helped you to shape what your product look, you know, now looks like. I just want to say at this point, if you haven't done that, if you haven't done any customer and market research, then I really suggest you going and doing that first before you think about writing your product specification. Reason I say this, well, there's three reasons I say this. The first is that what you've learned from your customers, what you've learned from your market research, what you've learned from your competitors and what they're doing and what people are saying about their products can really help you refine your product down to the smallest details. The second thing is that if you do this work in advance, you have a really clear idea of what you're looking for and a really tight brief. And this makes the sourcing process when you actually start looking for someone to manufacture your products a lot simpler, as it's much easier to start ruling out people who can't meet your spec if you know what your spec is. So, for example, if you know, you know what, if you're creating a product, and let's say it's a textile product and you know it wants to be organic cotton, for example. So you've done some research and you've decided, okay, the best possible material for this product will be organic cotton. That means that when you go out looking for suppliers, if they say, well, actually, I can't produce that, I can only produce regular cotton, you can rule those people out straight away. If you haven't got a really clear idea in your mind based on, you know, the research you've done, that what your product is, it becomes a lot harder, because actually that means you can start getting swayed, because you might find someone says, oh, I can't do organic cotton, but I can do bamboo, or I can do this other kind of fabric. And you may find yourself getting taken away from your, you know, the original vision for your products, because you didn't have it sort of clear in your head and written down. And by the way, I definitely suggest writing your product specification down. And the third reason I suggest you do all of this pre-work before you sit down to write your specification is that if you've done the work and you're still here, it means you've had some validation that there's a need for your product, that the costs stack up and it can be profitable. And I think it's always really good and important to have that. Apologies if you just got a bit of a blast of music there. I think my husband, I don't know, turned the radio on too high or something. So I hope that didn't disturb too much. So if you haven't yet done any customer market research, there's a couple of podcast episodes I want you to go back and listen to. The first is episode 5, which is Want to Create a Product, 4 Things to Do First. The second is episode 6, How and Why to Validate Your Product Ideas. And the third one is How to Carry Out Your Own Customer and Market Research with Abby Turnis. And that's episode 9. if you only listen to one of these, if you know you've only got time for one, go and listen to episode 9. Abby is a customer and market research expert. She knows all about this subject and she provided lots of great in-depth information about how to carry out research yourself. So that's definitely the one I would go for. So let's assume you've done all of this. Why, you know, this is my second reason for having a detailed product specification is that if you have a really detailed spec, a supplier can now use this to tell you A, whether they can meet the brief that you've got. And as I said before, you're going to waste a lot of time if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, because then it's very hard for anyone to tell you whether they can make your product or not. And also you can get an accurate price. The vaguer your product specification is, the more loose the price is going to be, because it's very hard for anyone to give you a quote if they don't have those finer details. So the more detailed specification you can give, you should be able to get back a really accurate quote. And that's why I think it's really worth doing this work. Okay, so coming on to, you know, what kind of things should your product specification include? It really needs to include everything that someone would need to confirm that they can meet your brief and to give you an accurate quote. So that basically means as much detail as possible. It doesn't mean you need to share at this point everything they'd need to make it. So for example, I don't suggest sharing designs, patterns, recipes, blueprints, prototypes, any of that stuff with anyone else at this stage, unless, you know, for some reason you feel comfortable to. But let's just assume you're going to be going out and looking for suppliers and, you know, you don't have any contacts, so you don't know these people. You know, you don't need to give all the information. So for example, rather than sharing designs, let's say you're looking for a textile product again, rather than sharing your designs, you could actually say, I want my designs to be printed and they each contain 3 colours. I've got 4 designs and they each have 3 colours. That's enough information for somebody to give you an accurate quote. You might find when you start speaking to suppliers, they push you to get a little bit more, but they don't actually need that at this stage. Just by having a really detailed specification and possibly some pictures and diagrams and things like that, they'll be able to at least confirm whether they can meet your brief and what it will cost. So please don't worry about giving too much away. Although I will say, of course, that you will need to have this for yourself. While I don't suggest sharing it with anyone until you've chosen the supplier you'll be working with, you know, you do need to have all of these things ready. Perhaps not at the point where you're going out to start sourcing, but, soon after. Because once you find a supplier that you want to work with, of course, they're going to need all of these details to actually manufacture your product. But even then, depending on your product details and what exactly it is you'll be sharing, you might want some kind of formal agreement drawn up with them before you start sharing designs, prototypes, all this kind of thing, because you obviously want to protect your product. So something to keep in mind. Okay, so let's talk about some of the things you might include in a product specification. And I just want to say here that this is not a definitive list, because the requirements vary so much between different products and different product types. So for example, a specification for a food-based product or some kind of beauty item would be really different to a textile product, for example, or electrical product. So these are just some of the things that might include, and hopefully it's just enough to give you an idea of the kind of things that you need to be thinking about. So you'd want to include a brief description of what your product is. So for example, my products, I would say bamboo muslin swaddle blanket is one example. You'd want to be thinking about the sizes and or dimensions of the product. You might want to be thinking about the weight of the product, if that's something that applies for you. You might want to think about the materials to be used, and when I say materials, whether that's fabric or whether that's metals, plastics, but what will your product be constructed of? So you might want to specify if you have any specific notes on the quality and the finish of your products. I mean, of course, you're going to want products finished to a high quality, but that is something I actually do include in my specification. So when I was sourcing for my towel, I did actually say that I needed it finished to a really high quality. I didn't want to see any loose threads and things like that. And while you'd think that would be a given for me, because quality is really important, that is something I wanted to include in my specification. Not that you have to. Okay, so you might also want to talk about, you know, the colours or the patterns used on your product. You might want to talk about the designs. You might want to talk about whether the product has any variants and, you know, so, and if so, how many variants and what will these be? So, for example, do you have a product that comes in different sizes or different colours or different patterns? Or do you have a simple product and then sort of a more complex version of the same thing? So this is all things you need to include. So you might want to think about ingredients or components to be used or omitted. So let's say you're making a beauty product and there might be certain ingredients that you don't want included. The same as if you're making food or drink, there might be certain ingredients you say, actually, I don't want. Or maybe you do want. Maybe you're, you know, maybe you're looking for shampoo and you really want avocado in it or argan oil or something. So these kind of things need to be included in your specification. You also need to think about the number of items in total. So if your product is a pack containing more than one product, so for example, I sell a pack of 4 muslin swaddle blankets. So that was something that was included in my specification. Another product I sell is a bamboo bowl that comes with a spoon. And that was something that was included in the specification, because when I was getting quotes, I didn't want someone to quote me for the bowl alone. I wanted to make sure that the quote also, you know, also included the spoon too. So it's really important to be clear about exactly what the finished product looks like, what it's compromised of. You might also want to, well, you actually you will want to talk about how you want your product packaged, because that's obviously a key part of the product overall. And we'll talk about packaging more in future episodes, but whether you want your product, you know, if you want it packaged in a box or a bag, whether you have your own designs for that, or you want something quite plain, it's just, this is the kind of information that someone will need to know. And as I said before, they won't necessarily need all of the details. So let's say that you want a bespoke box made. Now, this, you don't need to provide that to the supplier now to get a quote, but it would be helpful if you could say, I want a bespoke box made. These are the dimensions. It's going to be printed and they're going to be this number of colours, and I'm going to need a barcode on there. Just that level of detail is enough, and those are all things you need to think through. You will also want to include any branding requirements. So for example, is your product one that needs a bit of customization? An example here is in the, when I spoke about my bamboo bowl and spoon, I have my logo on the base of the bowl, and I also have it engraved. I say engraved, I'm not sure how you actually describe it, but basically sort of carved into the wood on the spoon and the bottom of the bowl. And so that was a requirement I need to make sure it was included on the specification. You know, and this includes things like, you know, do you want a special sticker put on your product boxes? Do you need custom made packaging? You also want to include, do you need any labelling requirements? So for example, do you require a washing label on your products? Do you require a swing tag applied? Do you need barcodes putting on your boxes? Will they be printed, or will they be stickers that you'll provide at a later date to be stuck on? And I know it seems like I'm going into a lot of detail here, but this honestly is the kind of detail you need to be getting into when you're thinking about your products. I'm hoping that by now you've got a really clear idea of your products, and you could just go through that list that I've outlined there. And for all the ones that were relevant, you'd be able to just, you know, fill in the blanks, as it were. And that would give you your product specification. So in terms of how to write a product specification, I suggest using the list that I've just given as a starting point and listing out all of the details that are relevant for your product. So just going through the list and going, okay, so here's a brief description of my product. I'm going to put in the dimensions. I'm going to talk about the materials. I'm going to talk about the colours. Oh, but actually, I don't have any design, so I'll skip that one. And then just add in the things that make sense for your product. So I've also created this podcast episode as a blog post. If you go to blog.tinychipmunk.com, you'll be able to access the post there. I'll also link from it for the show notes from this episode. And yeah, I would just take this list, paste it into a Word document, start to fill in the blanks, and then add in the other things that are relevant for your product. So this will then form the basis of any communication you'll send to potential suppliers and manufacturers. And again, we'll talk about this in another episode, because this is what you'll be giving them, but obviously there's going to be things you're going to be wanting back. So I know that you're going to have questions for any supplier that you contact. Of course, there's obvious ones. Can you produce my products and how much will it cost? But there are other things you need to be asking, and I promise we will talk about this in a future episode. But for now, I just want to focus on you getting the details of your products, you know, how to sort of get the details of your products onto paper so you can start to share it. I also suggest, if you want to, and this is something that certainly works for me, it may work for you, is pulling together sketches, photos, anything else that you have to help explain what you're looking for. So this is something that I tend to do when I'm contacting someone for the first time, to make sure that they're really clear what I'm looking for. I might look on the internet or on Amazon for images of products similar to the one I'm looking at, and of course I would take out any details that identifies, you know, the brand for that product. But just to say, okay, I'm looking for a product that does this, and here's a picture of a similar one, just to make it really clear what you're looking for. And as I say, you can include sketches. So when I was sourcing my towels, they have a bit of a unique embroidery on the hood. They have like a little chipmunk face, and I actually designed it myself on a piece of paper, and I included a picture of that just so they could kind of see. Because when I was saying, oh, I want a chipmunk face embroidered, I wasn't quite sure that that was gonna perhaps translate necessarily. So I thought, okay, sending a picture is quite a good idea. So I suggest sharing any information that you feel would be useful and relevant and help someone really get what your product is about, perhaps what you're about as well. I mean, if you have a website or anything that explains a bit about you and your brand, then by all means share that as well, because it just helps any potential supplier get a really good idea about you, your products, and what it is you're looking for. So I really hope you found this episode helpful. If you have any questions about any of this, please don't hesitate to get in touch. You can email me at vicky@tinychipmunk.com. I would love to hear from you. And yeah, please let me know if you found this episode helpful. If you did, please review it. Please rate, please share with your friends. That's really appreciated. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast already, please do. And then you won't miss any future episodes. We've got some brilliant ones coming up that I certainly wouldn't want you to miss. And I guess the last thing I'd say is that hopefully I have made this sound quite simple, because I promise it is quite simple. You have all of this information. I'm certain you have all of this information in your head now. It's just a case of getting it on paper if you haven't already. So this is definitely something you can do, and it's something that, you know, needs to be done before you can even think about going out and looking for someone to make your product for you. Even if, as a complete aside, even if this is a product you're thinking you're going to make yourself, I still do think it's a good idea to just write it all down and have it on paper, because these really small details that make up your products are also things that are going to be useful when you start marketing it and, you know, describing the product to other people. It's just really good information to have. So I definitely think it's worth it. Okay, so I really hope that helps, and take care and see you next time. Hi, this is just a little note. So if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.